Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're kindly joined once more by Alan Green. Alan, thank you very much for being on the podcast this morning.
Hi, Jonathan. Good to be back.
So, Alan, we've got a very interesting day in the markets. We're seeing a lot of movement, not only in equities, but some of the alternative assets such as Bitcoin. So we're going to cover those in some detail. And there's also three equities that we're going to discuss, which tie quite nicely into some of the themes that we're seeing today and also this week. But we've been touching on this in recent podcasts, Alan, and it may get a little bit boring for listeners, but it is a major theme in markets and obviously a major concern. Yeah. And that's really driving prices this morning, and that's inflation. We've seen fears in the United States over the last couple of months with inflation soaring over there and what it means for monetary policy going forward. There's been questions about the Federal Reserve and are they going to be tapering their stimulus anytime soon, and then how far past that do they start to look at increasing rates? And they've made a number of comments to say they're going to be letting the economy run until they feel all of the weakest areas of the economy are sufficiently recovered before they make any shift. But just this morning, Alan, we've had some data from the United Kingdom. And we've actually now got an inflation rate of 1.5%. That's doubled from 0.7% the month before, mainly driven by increasing energy prices. That's obviously a big impact on the CPI. Now, the Bank of England has a target of 2%. So we're still some way off of that target. But there's obviously some fears, and we're seeing those fears in markets today, because as soon as we start to see inflation increase, we're obviously seeing market forces start to price in a potential interest rate hike. We've seen the UK 10-year gilt trading at the beginning of the year is trading about 0.2%, now trading at 0.9%. So that shows that the market is anticipating an increase in rates at some point. But Alan, in your view, is the market getting a little bit ahead of themselves here in starting to price in an increase in rates here in the UK, given that we're still in the middle of the pandemic and it doesn't look like there's any sounds coming from the Bank of England that they're going to be changing rates anytime soon?
Yeah, absolutely, Jonathan. I don't believe for a second that they will. I mean, the US Biden administration has signaled they're going to stick with it with their current monetary policy, and just allow the areas of industry and the sectors that have been hit hardest by COVID allow them to recover, so we can then take a view on what I suppose you'd refer to as a more normal economy, you know, with all elements of the economy functioning as they would do normally. Of course, we've got the pressure in the UK from increasing energy prices. That's inevitable, but the Bank of England, I don't believe for a second, will rock the boat at all for consumers, simply because I think the interest rate levels that are currently out there will remain in position for some years to come, simply because the Bank of England will not want to rock the boat. We've got people coming off furlough schemes, going back to work. Some people, sadly, will lose their jobs because those companies will, some companies won't be able to survive and come out of the other side of COVID. So with all those factors, those people will be borrowed, they'll have families, they've got bills to pay. Any impact on interest rates could be disastrous and could potentially lead to the sort of scenario we saw in the early 90s where house prices moved sharply into negative equity because people were so heavily borrowed and had and had borrowed loans that, with the increase in interest rates, they simply couldn't repay. So the Bank of England will not want to see that scenario repeat. So in my opinion, they will keep things where they are. So what we're seeing in the markets today is, I think, a bit of an overreaction, and possibly, you know, some people in the market moving the market on the back of sentiment in the very short term.
Yes, I mean, I'm just looking at the stocks here that are some of the, amongst the biggest fallers on the FTSE 100. We're looking at miners. They're pretty weak today. Some of the banks are pretty weak also. These are actually some of the best performing stocks so far in 2021. I mean, how much of this move today, Alan, do you think it is down just to a wave of profit taking on some mild concerns? And could it, in your opinion, provide an entry point for some of these names we've discussed on the podcast previously, which are set particularly in the commodities sector for some pretty strong tailwinds with higher commodity prices, obviously looking at banks and improving economy. I mean, you personally, would you be viewing this sort of pullback, and indeed if it does pull back some more, as an opportunity to step into some of these names?
Absolutely. And I think there's also another factor that will become it's most definitely a force in the marketplace now. A lot of first-time traders and investors have done incredibly well making money in the crypto space. And as we're seeing currently a crash in the price of Bitcoin, some of those portfolios may well be liquidated, turned into cash, and armed with that new wealth, some of that wealth could find its way into taking up opportunities on a day like today, where the stock market does fall and some sectoral stocks have come off their highs. So there's a new dimension, I think, emerging in investing, that this money is in the crypto space, and once it's liquidated, it will probably find its way into other assets, possibly even gold, technology and other stocks. But certainly, I think in the short term, we're just seeing conventional market moves, nothing more than that. And longer term, medium and longer term, I don't believe the Bank of England will alter its current policy or increase interest rates.
Indeed. I mean, especially from a tactical position, looking at the FTSE 100 just beneath that 7,000 level, it hasn't been able to hold above there with much conviction for a period of time. So that's going to be a very key level, a very key psychological level for investors going forward. But exactly. So, Alan, now you mentioned crypto there. Bitcoin overnight went through to the downside 40,000. Quite a sharp pullback from the highs that we saw above 60,000. And it seems to be that it's not just Bitcoin. There seems to be a lot of other cryptocurrencies that are moving to the downside. Now, this brings us on quite nicely to the first equity that we're going to discuss today, one that we've touched on before. It had a huge rally in line with crypto. It's Argo Blockchain. But we are looking at a share price now, which is seemingly tracking the Bitcoin price back down to the levels that it saw at the beginning of the year when we saw Bitcoin embark on this rally to the upside. I mean, how much do you feel that this link between Argo Blockchain and Bitcoin is going to carry on, or do you think that there's a level there with the business that they're running, it doesn't really have too much of an impact in the long term what the Bitcoin price does? And, you know, is there anything from that company which would suggest otherwise?
Well, absolutely. I mean, Argo is inextricably entwined in Bitcoin because it's a Bitcoin miner. So where goes Bitcoin, goes Argo. So it is an absolutely a proxy for the Bitcoin prices. The company is a miner, and it has had an incredible year. setting up, of course, mining centers across this border, a huge plot in Texas to expand mining operations. It's just completed and announced last week that they had completed the acquisition of two data centers in Quebec in Canada with a combined 20 megawatt output, which is, you know, as Peter Wall, the CEO, said, is another milestone in the company progress. So the company has also signed a climate, a crypto climate accord with DMG blockchain, aiming to be net zero in its production by 2030. So that's great. And obviously, you know, they're looking to minimize running costs. During each month, they mine more and more Bitcoin. The numbers for April show that 163 Bitcoin have been mined. The company now has a total of 936 Bitcoins in total. And of course, CEO Peter Wall famously was the first CEO of a listed company to receive his salary purely in Bitcoin. But you have to remember, this company, whilst it has this huge exposure to Bitcoin, it does invest in other assets in the sector as well. It has a 25% stake in Pluto Digital Assets, which is a decentralized technology investor. So in some of its investing, it's moving away from its core role as a miner. But nonetheless, the company is its value drivers are all based on the amount of Bitcoin it produces each month. So it will be seeking to up those production numbers to get to a point where instead of 163, maybe it can generate 300 Bitcoin a month. So if the Bitcoin price is still down here between 25 and 30,000 sterling, it won't really matter because Argo will be leveling out because it'll be producing more and more Bitcoin. Then, of course, if it's manufacturing at those sort of levels and the Bitcoin price explodes again, as many people think it will, I mean, some analysts are saying it's going to go to $400,000 to $500,000 per coin by the year 2025, which is, you know, quite fantastic, really. But if indeed it goes much higher, then of course, Argo is going to be a fantastic recovery opportunity. And I'm looking at the share price now. We've fallen from a year high of 339 pence, which of course put the valuation at well over a billion, down to 115 pence where it is today. That's still compared to the 52-week low of 3.4p is still an incredible performance over the year. And anyone who invested last year, you know, they've really had a 100 banger on their hands. But given the momentum in the business, I think any opportunity like this, where you see the price come off so heavily, depending on your view on Bitcoin, I think this offers great upside going forward and is a very investable stock at its current level.
So I know with these shares, we've discussed a number of companies operating in the crypto space this year, given the rise we've seen in crypto assets. I mean, how much are companies like Argo Blockchain a pure proxy for the price of cryptocurrencies? And how much is it, do you feel that investors should be looking at it for what the company is actually doing and the value that it's creating within its business operations as compared to just saying, well, it's operating in Bitcoin. I don't really fancy buying Bitcoin. I'm going to buy some shares in a company that operates in that one. I mean, is it really just a vehicle for tracking the price, do you feel? Or do you think that there's value to be had regardless of what the price does there with companies like Argo?
It is very much a proxy for Bitcoin, John. Yeah, for sure. But at the same time, its mission is to mine Bitcoin as quickly and as effectively and as cheaply as possible. And of course, the larger the company grows, the greater the economies of scale it'll bring into its offering. So, as I said just now, even though the price of Bitcoin continues to fall, if as a result of the increased manufacturing or mining capacity, it's able to, say, double the number of coins it mines from 160 a month to 300 a month, then obviously we'd be back to the year highs and the fall in price would be less severe. In addition, as it invests into other technologies within the sector, you know, through, I mentioned Pluto Digital Assets, that's a key investment the company's made. And of course, invest into other mining facilities to ramp up the number of coins it produces each month. Then it'll become less volatile based around the Bitcoin price. But it's still probably, if you were going to pick a stock, a listed company, to be a proxy for Bitcoin, other than Coinbase, you probably couldn't get much closer than Argo Blockchain.
Fantastic, fantastic. So, Alan, let's move on now to our second company, which is a FTSE 100 company in Rolls-Royce. Particularly interesting to see what some of the travel stocks have done this week. Of course, they have all seen quite a strong rally as hopes of a reopening took off at the beginning of the year. But we've seen a bit of weakness there coming through. Rolls-Royce themselves are up about 46% year to date, but still a tremendous amount off of the highs that we saw before the pandemic. I mean, Alan, what's been happening there? I know it has some developments at the company. I mean, what do they look like, and what does the future look like for Rolls-Royce, given the ongoing uncertainty around people taking flights for holidays?
Sure. So Rolls-Royce obviously currently trading with an $8.5 billion market cap. Shares are just over £1, and they've traded as high as £1.40 on the year. But in March last year, of course, when everything fell, they dipped as low as 33p, and with good reason, because of course it's the eponymous aero engine manufacturer. You know, if you travel on a plane, as you walk out of the plane, you'll see those huge engines hanging under the wings, and most of them nowadays are Rolls-Royce, and they are quite rightly the best aero engines in the world. But of course, Rolls has many other interests in defence and technology and other areas where it earns its income from, and it's made a huge effort over the past few years to start the diversification process to move away from its core offering as an aero engine manufacturer. The most recent step, significant step is the move to set up a consortium to manufacture a series of mini nuclear power plants up and down the UK, known as SMRs, small modular reactors. So this consortium includes Jacobs and Lang O'Rourke, and each of these plants is expected to cost up to $23 billion apiece. But of course, it's in moving into this area, it takes a huge step down the road to meeting the UK's net zero emissions target in 2050. It's a good departure for Rolls. It's a departure into green tech, and of course it's very necessary, I think, for the future of the business going forward. The company announced the other day some numbers which whilst they were good in the market, they didn't necessarily impress the analysts. And certainly Deutsche Bank put out a note on the group yesterday. Rolls basically reaffirmed its guidance for the full year, and it said that it was seeing an improvement in the aerospace industry as flights recommenced and travel started down the road to a return to normal. And of course, we're still a long way off that. Of course, what Rolls also does, aside from building the engines, it builds the engines and it has contracts to service the engines and provide replacement parts all around the world. And during the first 4 months of this year, large engine flying hours were 40% down on 2019 levels, and lower than, of course, the full year for 2020. So that has put a huge dent in Rolls's profits, obviously, but the company's provided guidance and it's confident it's going to hit that. But there are some doubts, and of course, it's an extremely uncertain outlook. We've already seen some of the smaller airlines go to the wall. Flybe, of course, went to the wall, I think, just after COVID started last year. So the diversification into new areas, such as SMRs, is very important. Rolls has got to really bring those on stream pretty quickly in order that it can supplement the revenues that it's lost through the aerospace business going forward. And so the jury is very much out. But I mean, the one good thing for investors and shareholders is Rolls continues to pay a small 1.5% dividend, is a 1.5% dividend yield. In that regard, it's the future is looking a lot brighter for investors than it has done for some time. And of course, if you decided last year to make a move into the stock and pick up the stock when it hit its low, in fact, it wasn't in March; it was in August last year. Then you'll be sitting on a stock that's quadrupled in value and still pays a dividend. So it's certainly a long-term hold. Would I invest at this point? I'd want further evidence that the SMR rollout is underway, and of course that project's got to be rolled out, and we've got to see milestones achieved fairly rapidly. I think certainly for me to make a decision to invest into the company, but a great British company nonetheless, and one that I very much hope will go on to new highs in the not too distant future.
So, Alan, just one last point here with Rolls-Royce. A sceptic may argue that, yes, that they're moving into these new modular nuclear plants. But, I mean, how much do you think that this is just maybe a short-term PR move to show investors that they're thinking about the future, they're thinking about green energy, and also saying, we're not just a one-trick pony here with our focus on aviation? And is there going to be, do you feel, that when things start to get back to normal, whatever normal may be, and the number of flights start to pick up, and in turn that we then start to see higher demand for new aircraft, do you think that this new project will fall to the wayside to some extent?
No, I don't believe it will, because, of course, we don't know what's going to happen going forward. New technologies are entering aerospace the whole time. I mean, we're seeing electric engines being tested in aircraft around the world at various levels, very successfully. So, I think the good thing is with Rolls, they are the leading aerospace manufacturer. And are recognised as such. So I've no doubt Rolls will pioneer any move if the type of aero engines they manufacture change and perhaps become huge electric motors. So they'll still be at the forefront of that. But I don't think they can rely on that going forward, because we've got this sea change moving away from the traditional combustion engines into electric technology. That will create a modicum of uncertainty for investors wondering what Rolls' strategy will be around that. So I think it's important that Rolls do diversify, and I don't believe the SMR project is just window dressing at all. I think that's a serious move by Rolls to diversify and to develop new revenue streams for the business. But they'll need to keep on doing this going forward.
Indeed. A very interesting future there. That's something that they heavily push into, and a new area of business at Rolls-Royce that we'll be very much keeping a close eye on. So, Alan, let's move on to our final stock of today. Now, this is one that we have discussed, I think it was last year, on the podcast. And at the time, it was one that I highlighted for two reasons, in terms of their business model and the attractiveness of it. They've got two key points for me. They have a model that has reoccurring revenue, and they're also operating in a market which is expanding. This is CVS Group, the veterinary group, and with the rise in popularity of buying puppies, buying kittens during lockdown and the pandemic, we've seen a huge increase in demand for their services. That was reflected in figures that we saw earlier on this year. But what's been the latest developments from them, Alan?
Okay, so CVS Group are, as you rightly say, that they own a chain of veterinary surgeries up and down the country. In fact, they're the largest integrated veterinary services provider in the UK. They also own a series of diagnostic labs. They have a very strong online presence. They have the My Vet Club, which provides partnerships and discounts for vets that decide to remain independent. And also, sadly or otherwise, they have a chain of pet crematoriums up and down the country, seven crematoriums. It's this integrated services approach that they provide that has underlined the core reason for their success. And of course, we've all heard about lockdown pets, people buying pets in lockdown, so when they get out, they can walk and they have a reason to get out. And on the back of that, we've seen the cost of buying a puppy or buying a kitten double, treble, quadruple in some cases. A member of our family is buying a German Pointer puppy. And compared to what we paid for ours a few years ago, it's quite staggering. And of course, along with this, you've got all the vets' fees, the injections, the jabs, the inoculations, everything that's required throughout the life of the puppy. The CVS Group also have their insurance service providing pet insurance, because the cost of some operations, as you can imagine, you know, anyone who's seen the Channel 4 program, The Super Vet, will be aware of some of the detailed operations that have taken place on pets who have had an accident or similar, and the amount of money that's involved in that is astonishing. So looking at the company as an entity, if you look at the announcement, say, over the past year, you'll see pretty well month on month, there's an acquisition here, an acquisition there, and the company just continues to buy up these independent veterinary surgeries. And the net result is that they're just, because, of course, with that, when you look after that many vets, your access to drugs, to equipment, offers and creates huge economies of scale. So you can then order a much larger batch of, say, Metacam, which is painkiller for pets, and get a huge discount in the process, which means you can charge it out at full rate, so your profit margins improve massively. And this is what the CVS Group approach is, and they've done it very well indeed. If we bring the company up to date for this year, we've had literally every trading update, every announcement over the past year has seen, the full year results, we saw sales up 63%. We saw EBITDA margins increase by 19%. Constant growth on all of the key metrics. In April, we had a further trading update ahead of full year results. The board reported strong trading, and the board are confident it will continue. As a result, full year revenues and EBITDA will be comfortably ahead of expectations, quote unquote. And this has just been a feature of the company through the year. So you can look back to this time last year. The shares were trading at about £9 a share. Today they're trading at £21, having hit a year high recently of £23.50. And of course, it just continues to push forward. At some stage, I would expect the the company will start to pay a dividend. But certainly for capital growth, it's delivered a very strong return for investors. And that's also reflected by the board. Non-exec Richard Gray in March bought 3,000 shares at £18.70. Chairman Richard Connell bought 5,000 shares at £18 also. So really the business at the moment can do no wrong. And looking forward, this huge popularity in pets and pet services and anything that pets need, beds, bedding, or collars, chews, bones, you name it. It's just a huge burgeoning business. And I think this company is just going to continue going from strength to strength because it's a huge burgeoning industry that shows no signs of slowing down.
So, I don't know, I mean, I'm just looking at the figures here, and you're looking at the revenue figures I have here for the 6 months to the end of the 31st of December. Revenue came in at 245. If you annualise that, you're looking at about £500 million in revenue. We're trading with a valuation on this company of £1.4 billion. This isn't a business which has particularly high margins because you're looking at profit before tax of around about £15 million for that period. Again, if you annualise it very crudely, you're looking at £30 million. So you know, if you're looking at multiples, possibly an annualized profit of £30 million, but you're looking at a market cap of 1.4. Some may argue that it looks pretty rich on a valuation basis. I mean, what would you say to anybody that says that?
I'd say yes, I agree with you. It does look rich, and but I think there are a number of considerations you have to make when you're buying a stock. Firstly, look back at the consistency of results, and if you go back over the results from previous years, you'll see there's been a consistent build up to this. It's just the margins have incrementally improved time on time, and whilst the profit margins aren't great, the company consistently delivers improvements at the half year and the full year at the full year level. So there's also, of course, the trend is your friend. And when you've got a company that's growing as consistently as this, it's still got a huge number of acquisitions it could make. It could expand the business overseas and grow the business across Europe. There are all sorts of opportunities for the company to continue this exponential growth, and of course, what could go wrong? I mean, if there were issues with pet ownership or restrictions on pet ownership, that could have some bearing going forward. And of course, with the proliferation in pets now, a lot of people aren't used to the responsibility that comes with owning a pet, and of course, a lot of them get to cast by left out or taken to a rescue center for another family to take them on. But they still had to be fed, they still had to be looked after. So the underlying fundamentals that drive the market CVS operates in is compelling. I can't see at the moment, I can't see any weakness in the business case.
Fantastic. So that's one that we have discussed on the podcast previously. And, with the evolving business there, I'm sure that we'll be updating listeners again when we get the next instalment of figures from CVS Group. So just as a recap, equities that we discussed in detail today were Rolls-Royce, which trades under the ticker of RR, Argo Blockchain, which trades under the ticker of ARB, and just then was CVS Group, which trades under the ticker of CVSG. Alan, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thanks, John.
So just as a note for listeners, we have the UK Investor Magazine virtual conference for May coming up on the 25th of May, which is next Tuesday. So do check out the links on our website to get yourself signed up for that. We have presenting, and we're going to be Trident Resources.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.